Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good to see you. We're turning to Hebrews, new verse in the chapter 11. It's the verse 29. Look at it as we read it. By faith, they, that's the people of Israel, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying, or attempting, trying to do, were drowned. That was a good hymn we sung this morning. It deals with this very issue. It came to me just before I came down here. When Israel out of bondage came, a sea before them lay. The Lord reached down his mighty hand and rolled the sea away. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. As we come to this verse 29 and continue, as I said, with the little series of references to various incidents that happened as Israel journeyed to the Promised Land, and each one of those little incidents contained in the verse set before us the experiences that Christians encounter in their walk with God, in their journey to heaven. So there's pictures here for us to consider. When we began with the verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We considered how that our pilgrimage to heaven begins when we're washed in the blood of the Lamb and covered and sheltered from God's judgment by the blood of Christ. So the verse 28, as it were, sets before us the beginning of the journey. And you can only begin to go to heaven when you have got under the blood. When you have got under the blood. Tell me, are you under the blood this morning? Are you? Well, we come to the second event in this verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying or attempting to do were drowned. They had only started and they ran into trouble. And boys and girls, I've got to tell you this. There are many times of trouble for the child of God. We're passing through, as it were, enemy territory on our way to heaven. And you will find that the world won't come out to applaud you and say, well done. They'll come out rather to mock you, and worse. And that's illustrated for us here by the fact that as soon as Israel begins to march out of Egypt, they're confronted by the great problem of the Red Sea. And it was a situation that brought them great fear. Oh, that's what we always do. When we're marching to heaven, as soon as we encounter difficulties, we lose sight of God and we begin to fear and tremble. If you look, you older ones, Exodus 14, and you can maybe keep a finger there. You can keep a toe there if you can manage it. Not too easy. A finger's much easier, so I suggest you keep a finger. In Exodus, the chapter 14. And in the verse 10 of chapter 14, we read, when Pharaoh drew nigh, he's chasing after them, you remember, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They were frightened by what it was they saw pursuing after them. Faced by the Red Sea, how are we going to go forward? And hot on their heels, there was the Egyptian army led by Pharaoh. And they were full of fury. They couldn't wait to fall upon Israel and slaughter them if they could. So Israel was filled with fear, sore afraid. And boys and girls, let me tell you, there are things which face the Christian which makes them very afraid. The greatest of Christians have been afraid. There were times David was afraid. There were times when men, like Elijah, and when we think of Elijah, we think of the most bold of the prophets, and yet he ran, frightened of the queen in his day. We think of Peter, bold Peter. And yet, Peter too, on occasion, showed fear. And I can tell you that the greatest of men throughout history who love the Lord and who have done great things for the Lord, there are times when they've been frightened. and fearful. Times like that which here faced Israel. A great difficulty in front and an enemy behind. What are we going to do? There seemed to be no hope. No hope. Well, they ought not to have been afraid. That has to be said. They ought not to have been afraid. In fact, despite the circumstances they were in, there was no reason for them to fear. The Lord was with them. The Lord was with them. It was like the disciples in the boat in the storm. And you remember how they were frightened that they were going to drown. And in a panic they went and shook the Savior and more or less said, waken up, we're going to drown. But they didn't need to do that. The Savior was there. No ill would come upon them. No harm would come to them when the Savior was there. And you ought to remember that. Please remember that. When you encounter difficulty, as you will as a Christian, you just remember, the Lord's with me. He has said, I will never leave thee. Isn't that good to know? That's his promise to you. He'll never leave you. Oh, there are times you forget about him. We all do. We all do. We turn our eyes away from him. We forget about him. But he never, never forgets us. His eye is always on us. Isn't that marvelous? And here is Israel full of fear. Well, they really didn't have caused. It says in Exodus chapter 14 again, the verses 10 and 11, that the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us, thus with us to deal, to carry us out of Egypt? Now, they cried unto the Lord, that was right. But sadly, their prayer must have been a little shallow, because as soon as they finished crying unto the Lord, they turned and, as we would say in this country, leapt upon poor Moses and tackled him and blamed him. What did you take us out of Egypt for? To bring us into the wilderness to die? You see, that's the way their minds were thinking. We're going to die. They'd forgotten the Lord. He had said, I'm going to take you to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's what he had said. That was his promise. But they forgot all about that and said, we're going to die. And they blamed Moses. Oh, if you cry to the Lord, make it an earnest and true prayer. Don't look around to try and blame others for what is happening. This was unbelief talking when Israel said to Moses, were there no graves in Egypt? There's a note of sarcasm there, a mocking note. And unbelief always has a note of mocking. Unbelief always mocks God, mocks God's promise. Causes us to sort of sneer at it. And that's the frame of mind and heart and soul poor Israel has sunk down into as they have faced this situation of the sea in front of them and Pharaoh behind them. They're complaining. They're complaining. However, Moses had a word for them. Moses was a good man, you know. He didn't descend to their level and begin to mock them and get angry with them, as we might be inclined to do when you meet a complaining, sneering, sarcastic people. You might be inclined to answer them back in the same spirit, but Moses didn't. Moses didn't. He said, and here again we're in Exodus chapter 14, the verses 13 and 14, fear ye not, stand still. I can imagine there was a lot of agitation. You imagine, there were hundreds of thousands of Israelites then. Hundreds of thousands. There were probably more of them than there are people in Northern Ireland. And there they were. And I guarantee when they saw the Red Sea and they heard the Egyptians pounding after them, there would have been a going to and fro and looking for where will we go, what will we do? And there was a whole agitation amongst the ranks. And Moses said, stand still. Stop. Stop. No need for you to panic like this. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When you're in a panic like that and running to and fro, you'll not see what God's doing, which he will show to you today. The Lord shall fight for you. Now, here's the faith of Moses, and it's what the people should have believed. It's what the people should have said when they saw the difficulties. We needn't worry. The Lord will fight for us. He'll deal with Pharaoh. He'll deal with the Red Sea. That's what faith would have had them say. And Moses speaks in faith when he says this. When we're on the path that God has directed us on, as Israel was on this occasion. They were leaving Egypt. That's what God wanted them to do. They were heading for the promised land. That's what God wanted them to do. Therefore, when difficulty faced them, they shouldn't have feared. They should have said, we're in the will of God. He's led us here. Whatever difficulties we now encounter, He'll deal with them. He'll go before us and clear the way. That's what they should have said. And in essence, that's what Moses is here saying. When difficulties come, boys and girls, listen to me. Just stop, stand still, and wait on the Lord to act. Wait on the Lord to deal with the issue. Wait on the Lord to intervene. It's the one thing about difficulties. When problems come, we can fold our arms and we can say, God's going to do something wonderful now, and I'm going to see it, and I'm going to watch for it. In actual fact, there is a sense in which we should welcome difficulties in life, because they are always occasions when God does something marvelous. Read the Bible. When did the greatest miracles appear and take place? When Israel was in trouble. God stepped in, intervened, and wrought a great miracle, which they wouldn't have seen, they wouldn't have experienced, if they hadn't run into trouble. Let me tell you, this world is going to see the greatest of all miracles one day. And I have to say, I have a feeling that it's one day soon that this will take place. One day soon that this will take place. And I'm speaking, of course, of that day when the Lord Jesus will come again. Oh, that it's a day that we can't even begin to imagine what it will be like when the Savior comes to this world. And do you know why He's coming? Do you know what it is that brings Him? Israel is in trouble. Israel is in trouble. Zechariah the prophet, he has prophesied and shown us in his little book the trouble that Israel will face, and which will bring the Lord from heaven in visible glory to deliver them. The greatest of all miracles the world that will ever witness will take place as a result of a problem of difficulty that faces people. So I say again, when trouble comes, we shouldn't hold our head in our hands in despair and complain and lament. We should say, rather, now, I'll stand still and I'll watch to see what God does in order to deliver me. When Stephen, the first Christian martyr, ran into trouble, and there rose up against him those who hated the way he was preaching and what he was saying, for he was preaching the gospel, and that annoyed a lot of the Jewish leaders. Well, when he ran into trouble, and the mob rushed him out into the open air and began to stone him, God intervened, delivered him. Do you know what He did? He took him to heaven. He took him to heaven. As he was dying, Stephen said, I see Jesus, and He's standing at the right hand of the Father. Why was the Savior standing? Because elsewhere we read that the Savior has ascended to heaven and is seated at the Father's right hand. Seated on the throne. But Stephen says, I see Jesus standing. He was standing to receive Stephen into heaven. That was the Lord's means of intervening and delivering His child from trouble. And that He will always do. Let me go a little further, quickly. When they heeded the word of Moses, then the Lord wondrously opened a way for them through the Red Sea. Opened a way for them through the Red Sea. Wondrously. Wondrously opened a way for them through the Red Sea. The sea was opened. Two things were at work in the opening up of the Red Sea. Now, that was a most remarkable thing. The waters of the Red Sea built up a huge wall. If you went out with a spade and began to dig a trench, you'd throw the dirt to either side of the trench, and gradually the dirt would build up as you dug the trench. Well, that's what happened in the Red Sea. Only I guarantee if you go down to Lough Erne with a spade and start digging the water, you'll not be able to build it up and pile it up either side of a trench made through the water. Oh, you'll not do that. You might take out some on the flat of the spade, and if you set it to one side, there's no trench. The water just levels out, doesn't it? But God made the water to build up either side of a passage, a trench that he made. And there were two instruments he used. The first was the rod of Moses. For the Lord said to Moses, lift up your rod. And when he lifted up the rod, the miracle began. And the sea began to open. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, when we run into difficulties, and there before us is a great problem, God will make a way through that problem by his rod. And do you know what God's rod is? That book that you're holding in your hand. That's God's rod. In that book, he will show you the way forward. Let me illustrate why God calls his word a rod. Now, I know you're all expert sheep farmers or shepherds. And you know all about looking after sheep. And you know that when the shepherd is looking after the sheep, he has a rod in his hand, the shepherd's staff. And when he's moving the sheep forward, there are times when he wants them to go in a certain direction, and he has a way of telling them the direction in which they should go. He reaches out with his staff, and he touches them. Just like a horse that's guided by the reins, or part of the harness it wears upon its head, the horse knows which direction to go in by the tugging of the reins. Well, the sheep knows which direction the shepherd wants it to go in by the patting, the touching, by the shepherd's staff. In Psalm 23, and it's the verse 4, David says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd conveys to the sheep the fact that I'm here, I'm looking after you, by touching them with his staff. The sheep doesn't have to look around to see the shepherd. They feel the touch of the staff and they know he's there. Well, when we read the Bible, boys and girls, God will touch our heart. God will touch our mind. And they let us know, I'm here. And when we run into difficulties, this book, his rod, will direct us as to where we should go. But there was something else, because in Exodus chapter 14 and the verse 21, we read of the wind. God caused the wind to move. As well as the lifting up of the rod of Moses, there began a moving by the wind that parted the Red Sea. And those two agents, if I might put it like that, are ever there to help and guide us. The rod, God's word. And the wind, well, what does the wind speak of? The Lord Jesus in John chapter 3 says you must be born again of the Spirit. And then he uses a symbol of the Spirit. He says the wind bloweth where it listeth. And out there you and I can feel the wind, and we feel it very often these days, and it's got quite chilly. You can't see it, but you feel it. Well, likewise, we can't see the Spirit of God, but we can feel his influences. We can feel his guiding of us. And when we run into difficulties, just like Israel ran into difficulties that day, faced with the Red Sea and with Pharaoh coming behind them, they were delivered from their difficulties by the rod and by the moving of the wind. Oh, will you remember that, boys and girls? Will you remember that? The way out of difficulties, when you run into difficulties, is to heed God's word and to submit to the leading of his Spirit. One last thing. What appeared to be a death trap for Israel became a death trap instead for their enemies. Look at the verse, Hebrews 11, verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Oh, it wasn't a death trap. It opened up as a way of escape for them, which the Egyptians essaying or attempting to do were drowned. So that which appeared to be the end for Israel, they were going to be massacred on the shore of the Red Sea by Pharaoh. Instead, that day ended with Pharaoh and all of his host, every last one of them, perishing, while Israel passed through on dry ground. That's how well God opened up the sea. They weren't paddling through inches of water and wet sand and all the rest of it. It was dry ground. That's how well God intervenes to deliver us. But it brought destruction to Egypt. It was a way of escape and a way of life for Israel, but a way of death for Egypt. Boys and girls, that verse, like all the others around us, starts off by saying, by faith, by faith. We're saved by faith. And when we're saved, then we begin to walk by faith. And by faith, we walk through whatever difficulties may face us as Christians on the way. May the Lord bless His word to your hearts today and be with each one of you and with the school. Let's bow in prayer. We thank Thee, Lord, for Your word, and I pray that it will come with power to the hearts of the boys and girls, and that they will this day have learned something of the greatness, the mercy, the love, and the constant friendship, companionship, guidance, and guardianship of the Lord over us all. Hear our prayer and bless us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.